This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Hey, it's Gemma Spegg, host of the Open Mind original podcast, Mantra. Every Monday, I'll bring you a new mantra, a simple yet powerful phrase to help you clear your mind and stay grounded amidst the chaos. I'll also share some personal stories, journal prompts, and a weekly challenge to bring each mantra to life. Follow and listen to Mantra, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Open Mind Studios, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
They made the deal for Jimmy Butler, the algorithm of the future, whatever the timeline was that you, it totally changed.
They put an expiration date on it. It's 2 years.
Yeah.
All the contracts line up. Steph, Dre, Jimmy, and if you guys missed that piece from Anthony Slater in The Athletic, I keep referencing it. Really good talking about that. Steph references the timeline. You know, Jimmy Butler, it's just, you know, the before and after Jimmy with the trade. All of it's very, very well done. Find it on The Athletic. Anthony Slater doing a whole job. He'll join us as he does each and every week here, Joe Shasky, on the Morning Roast. But yeah, you know, as soon as that happened, we're all in on this year, next year, and then we're going to basically see what happens. And then the year after that, like,
do you remember
this summer? Like, I don't know if he's going to be here.
Well,
like,
if I had to bet,
I don't think he's going to be.
Like, well, okay, so let's get looking.
I know the owner loves him though. It's like, so that's a big part of this.
Okay,
Joe Lacob loves Jonathan.
Do you remember when Harrison Barnes declined his extension?
Yes.
Okay, Harrison Barnes declined his extension.
What a blessing.
Well, even if he would have signed it, he might have still been dealt.
Well,
but he declined the extension and was playing really well, and then rolled his ankle.
Yeah,
and then like kind of failed to gain his footing. It felt like consistently the whole season.
He just had a really horrible playoffs and
awful. Yeah. And the pressure mounted and the decision mounted and the boulder on his shoulder got heavier and heavier and heavier and heavier.
The arenas would gasp like whenever he take a three, like, is he finally? And he just.
Exactly. Yeah. And then you kind of realize like, all right, well, he's the domino that gets flipped if you don't win at all.
Yeah.
Right? Like you didn't know Bogut was going to be a part of it. You didn't have a number one thought that, oh, Durant's coming. It could have been anyone. But you were like, all right, we could match something. We could flip him. That's kind of what the feeling was. And I feel similar to Kuminga. But the difference here is that Kuminga has an opportunity with a run here that where he can prove his worth and prove that he deserves to not only be on the team, but like he can be a hell of a contributor on a winning team. I'm not ready to just say peace out. I'm not ready to just trade him for anything like some people are. I want to let it play out. I want to give him an opportunity to prove himself. I think he can prove himself. I'm not ready to give up on him.
Is time running out on Jonathan Kuminga?
But that being
Kuminga,
said,
though?
It's not like the runway is long.
That's what I'm saying. That's my question. Is the time running out for Jonathan Kuminga to prove himself for the future of the Golden State Warriors to be a piece of it? Like I think it kind of is. Like
the difference between
11
what
games
you're saying
in the regular season, Joe Shasky, and then albeit maybe he goes on a crazy run in the playoffs. Maybe that'd be great. That'd be awesome. Then we're talking maybe championship. Great. JK. Awesome. I would love that. I just think time's running out on it.
But I think the difference for me and what the caller said, the next guy, I don't think anybody
thinks
the next guy. If you do, then yeah, you're going to be left.
I thought third
unsatisfied.
Option, maybe be great. A third option. Well, and even he was talking about Lou Williams and Malik Monk, like Lou Williams, how many times did he win sixth man of the year? He's a really good player. Well, like, that's a really good player, man. Like
they're just so different.
He's like 6'2". Isn't like Lou Williams. He's short. Like,
yeah.
What are we doing? Like,
well,
and
those are instant offensive guys,
yeah.
And you don't care about turnovers or who they're playing alongside. You're just worried about filling it up.
Yes.
Kuminga's skill set is just totally different. Like I think he has all the ability in the world to be an elite defender. It's do you want to be, and then are you paying attention? Right, those are the things that make great defenders.
And
do you
want
it, and are you paying attention? Are you maniacally obsessed with studying the opponent's tendencies and trying to take those things away?
Well, and that's the thing in all this. When you have two of the best defenders in the game on your team, like, and you're practicing with those guys and you're trying to pick their brains.
They're not practicing a lot right now.
Well, they're not, but they're picking their brains,
yes.
And you're being around them and you're on the court with them. Like, Draymond Green and Jimmy Butler, respectively, two of the best in the league at defense, like, And if that doesn't rub off on him at that point, then it is on Jonathan Kuminga. Like, if you're working with those guys and you're still not improving that much, and he's been solid. I'm not saying he's a scrub defensively. He's not. But I would like to see that, you know, come playoff time. If he's going up against the Oklahoma Cities or the Rockets, where I see young, big, athletic guys, like, and he's holding his own and he's doing his part, yeah, that would change how I view about him. Even if the offense is inconsistent, just on one side of the ball, I know what I'm getting would be great. Because you referenced it. That is what we saw with Andrew Wiggins. We knew the offensive inconsistencies were going to be there, but we got to a point with Wiggins where we knew what we were getting defensively every night, which is great. Like, we knew we were getting really good defensive work from Andrew Wiggins consistently. We're not there yet with Jonathan Kuminga. Now he's trying to, again, get involved in this team. And I feel like we're having training wheels and we're having, like, the oven mitts on when we're talking about it. But time is ticking here, Joe Shasky. 11 games to go, less than a month to go in this regular season. And he's playing important minutes now, and it hasn't been great.
So the rumor was that he declined a $30 million a year.
Rumor.
Yeah, that's the rumor. But Moses Moody signed basically an extension for $37 million over three. So you're looking at about 12 and a half.
Feels like a great bargain right now, given what we've seen from Moody.
Has anyone, fan, caller, texter, referenced Moses Moody's money once this year?
No.
Had Kuminga taken that $30 million deal, we would be referencing the money ad nauseum. He hasn't even signed. We don't even know the specifics. Yeah. And people are already projecting what he thinks he is worth. And this and that. We don't even know what the actual details were of what he rejected, what he did. It was just a report. So, like, Kuminga's wanting three or four times what Moses Moody's getting. And people are already throwing that through. Had he taken that money, let's just say hypothetically it was $25 million a year, I think people would still be on his head right now. And I just, it's a tough way to be.
Jason is in San Jose. He wants to join in the Kuminga conversation.
He's in a no-win situation, I guess, is what I'm going.
No, I think that's a great point. Unless they literally go on a run here and he looks incredible during it, I don't know what Jonathan Kuminga can do to really salvage, you know, parts of the fan base that are just out on him. I don't know if there is anything he can do to satisfy them. Oh, what's up, Jason? You're on with Spadoni and Chasky. How you doing, man?
Good morning. I'm doing great. Great conversation. The issue here is expectations and reality. The reason we love Steph Curry is if you looked at him, you wouldn't expect what you get. He exceeds all expectations.
Yes.
And it's because of his great skill. He has great skill. He doesn't jump. He doesn't run super fast. He has great skill, and his IQ is high. Now look at Jonathan Kuminga. Take away the leaping out of the gym. Take away the running really fast. What skills does he have? The skills aren't there. So, and then you add back the speed and you add back the leaping ability and you ask yourself, what does that translate into? Does it translate into rebounds? Does it translate into dunks? Does it translate into scoring? No. So it's a skill issue and an attitude issue. Now, our expectation is that he's going to be a high quality role player. The concern is his expectation is he wants to be Anthony Edwards, and he's not. Because he doesn't have the skill, and he hasn't developed the skill, and he's had time to move toward developing that skill. So the concern is there's a mismatch between his expectations and our expectations. And so he's not gonna get handles. That's not gonna happen. He's not gonna have a post game for years. He may have some of a post game, but he's not gonna have a post game for years. If he can understand that because of that lack of skill, he's not going to be Anthony Edwards for a long period of time, if ever, then he can reduce his expectations closer to where our expectations should be for him, which is an athletic guy that if he gets his mindset right, can slash and get rebounds. That's where we should be in terms of our expectations of him, and he needs to bring his expectations down to that level.
Thanks, Jason. This is Jason San Jose. What were the expectations for you heading into the season, Joe Shasky, with Jonathan Kuminga?
The beginning of the year?
Yes.
I mean, I wanted to see him ascend, but at the time they didn't have a second scorer, really. No. Like, we didn't know who that second scorer was. So I was like, all right, could he be your second scorer? But now, again, since you got Jimmy, I changed that. I've recalibrated, and now my calibration is like, all right, I just need you to give me all the things, and it's fair or not, like I'm asking the guy to change on the fly. I need you to give me all the stuff I got from GP2 and then some.
Mm.
And that might be unfair. Like, be the bigger perimeter defender, put yourself in the dunker spot, knock down an occasional three, you know, be a tenacious rebounder and put pressure on the rim. But here's the thing, like, he says he doesn't have any skill besides jumping. I think he finishes around the rim with his offhand better than you're giving him credit for.
I think he puts tremendous pressure on the defense when he is aggressive in his mindset. Again, that goes back to consistency, though. When he has this consistent mindset, he was doing it prior to the injury, getting the other team in foul trouble, getting to the line. He was doing that very well prior to the injury.
I think his mid-range not that bad.
No, I don't think his mid-range shot is bad either. The three-point shot looks clunky. No, and
the square up midi isn't bad for him. The square up midi. The fadeaway from the block, I don't like that at all. His back-to-the-basket game's not great. I think his handle's okay. I think his patience in passing has gotten better.
It's gotten better. He actually had a couple
Jay Rich couldn't dribble for 5 years.
No, I actually liked, he had like two assists, and they were both to the corner where he was dribble drive penetrating, and then he just kicked out immediately when everyone started collapsing. And twice he did it to the corner, and there were two open threes, and they hit both of them. And it was like, that was great. That was nice to see. And he was doing that a lot. And I want more of that going forward. Again, he's trying to, I can see him trying to play within the team at times. So like, I feel like I'm frustrated on his behalf because like, man, I see you, JK. Yeah. I see you trying out there. It's just not always translating. And I think we do this. Well, a lot of us do it. I do it. I'm guilty of it. We look at the box score at the end of it. It's just like, oh, yeah, again, that was another typical just ho-hum, not a very good game for Jonathan.
He scored a hollow 14 in the first half.
Exactly, right? Like, we do this a lot, but who did we just have? Was that Mo? Like, the expectation is the question I have for him.
I think,
like,
the expectations are wildly out of whack.
What are the expectations from fans with this guy? Like, what do you expect from Jonathan Kaminga at this point?
Steph Curry's a comet. All right, Steph Curry's
a top 10 player in the history of the sport.
All right, you don't see comets every day, all right? You're talking about a once-in-a-generation-like player. Maybe in my lifetime, I get it. I thought Chris Mullin was going to be the greatest player I ever saw in a Warrior uniform, okay? Now, Mullin is one of the greatest players
as a Hall of Famer
the game has ever seen. He pales in comparison to how great Steph Curry is.
He'll tell you that.
And I watched Mully, and one of my favorite players. Dude, he's a white guy. Of course I loved him. Like, you know what I mean? Like, a guy came to our school at St. Gabe's and shot a photo shoot at St. Gabe's. It was the most incredible thing of all time. Joe Garcia put his arm around him. It was like he was touching God. And I love Mully. The gap between Mully and Steph Curry is humongous. So to think that Kaminga would ever even come close to Steph Curry is just insane. If that's what you're thinking, you're going to be upset.
No, it's interesting, though. The caller saying this is like, hey, what makes Steph is amazing is because you look at the guy and then he outperforms what you thought when you just looked at him physically.
Okay.
Because you had a preconceived notion of this guy. Oh, he's 6'3". He doesn't look the biggest.
Brock Purdy, Lincecum, they all have that similar thing.
And so when you see a guy that's chiseled and has a big physique and he's 6'7", he's Jonathan Kaminga and he's athletic, you see the dunks, you want more and you expect more of them. Even though, again, I go to the birth certificate, as Guru likes to say, he's 22 years old. So like, and he did came straight out of high school and started playing, and he was a very raw prospect. 4 years into it, though, I can't be looking at you as a raw prospect anymore.
But he was great. But hear me out. It's as if the 2 months of him being great, not good, great, didn't exist.
Well, it's because it didn't translate to a lot of wins.
Yeah, but that's did win some games. And because of
but
him,
you were a 500 team. But you were a 500 team.
Okay, but you would have been way below 500 team if you didn't. Like, so that's where, as we balance this thing out, I get frustrated because it's like, oh, so those 2 months didn't matter at all?
No, it mattered at the time. It mattered at the time, but.
But not enough?
We react to new information, Joe Shasky. You bring in Jimmy Butler, and now you truly see how important a guy like Jimmy is to the outlook of this team.
Well, Jimmy's an all-timer. Jimmy's a Hall of Famer.
He is.
JK falls really short of him. Yeah, and that's really difficult.
It's not a fair comparison, but it's even more so the leap we saw from, let's compare Jonathan Kaminga, and we felt like there was a gap between him and Wiggins, and then we saw the gap between Wiggins and Jimmy Butler, and it was just like, oh my God. Like, so there's levels to these gaps is what I'm saying is, and can a JK even get to the level of an Andrew Wiggins? That seems like a massive gap to even get to at this point. So there's frustration baked into it see that progression.
But this is where I get frustrated when we talk about Wiggins. It's like everything goes back to the two great months, right? That'd be like me going like, hey, we got to find our next Cody Ross. It's like, dog, that Cody Ross moment was incredible. You were so lucky that you hit the genie bottle and got two series from Cody Ross. You know how lucky the Warriors were to get the greatest 3 months of Andrew Wiggins' career? So lucky, okay? Let's not all pretend like he didn't drive you completely crazy for the year prior, the year after that. Like, yes, you got the couple best months out of him, but Wiggins was a mixed bag too. We act like he was all-star Wiggs for four straight years.
No, I was trying to trade him last year. I'll keep it.
We all were.
Not everyone, but I said, no, you got to.
We all were frustrated.
You got to trade this guy because the vibes were just all-time bad.
We act like JK's the only inconsistent player to ever play for the Warriors. Like, no, I got plenty of guys that have been inconsistent on this Warrior team.
What are the expectations of Jonathan Kuminga? Quite frankly, what should the expectations now of Jonathan Kuminga should be?
I just don't think we even know what that is.
Well, that's what I'm trying to figure out as a collective here. We have a very smart fan base, so let's all try to work on this. Let's all come up with realistic expectations for this guy because it does seem out of whack right now for whatever reason. 888-957-9570 is the numbers. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco, and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. And we are broadcasting live from the Laughing Monk Studios. Joe Shasky, you chuckle. What's up?
Well, no, it's just, he's in such a no-win situation. All the best role players, right? All the best role players are usually seasoned veterans. Very few are rookies, right? We're expecting him to be Drew Holiday. And it's like, dude, do you know how, like, how many games of basketball Drew Holiday has played? Like, it doesn't matter if Drew Holiday scores 25 or 6, because I know what he's bringing to the table.
He's 34 years old. Yeah.
Okay, think of how many big playoff series Drew, and as A, he was one of the best players on New Orleans when he was there with Anthony Davis.
He
was their second best player.
Always been elite defensively.
Always, yeah. All right? He knows what he brings to the table. It is like anything he gives you offensively for the Boston Celtics is like gravy, right? Yep. He knows exactly what his role is. We're asking him to be some version of you know, Al Horford and Drew Holiday and Iguodala for this Warrior team. It's like, whoa. Pump the brakes, everybody. Like, just right now, let's simplify this. I want you to be in the dunker spot. I want you to occasionally take an outside shot when the ball comes your way. I want you to just be tenacious on the perimeter, and I want you to box out like you've never boxed out before. If you do those things, I don't even care how much you score. I know we'll be getting out in transition, clearing rebounds, and the ball's going to find you, and you're going to dunk.
Let's go to Alan San Pablo. He wants to talk about Jonathan Kuminga expectations. What are the expectations of Jonathan Kuminga? And more importantly, what should the expectations of Jonathan Kuminga be for this team going forward? 888-957-9570 is the number. Again, you can call or text that number. I want to tell everyone, you can call or text it. We have the text line open, 888-957-9570. What's up, Al? You're on Spadoni and Shasky. How you doing, man?
I'm doing good. Thank you, guys. Yeah, I think the expectations are way too high, and I think I'm guilty of it too, but it should be much lower. Just think about it. If he was playing 4 years of college basketball and coming out into the NBA, you would expect more. But he's got something better. He's got a 4-year education playing in the NBA with some of the best players ever. I think that's a better choice. If he had to choose it, he'd take that route. But yet, he's only 22 years old, so he's just now getting 4 years. He needs more time to develop and to become better. But I don't know if the Warriors can afford it, only because of the fact that he's going to be a restricted free agent. The Warriors may not be able to afford to watch him continue to grow. I think that maybe when he's about 26, 27, you'll see Jonathan Kuminga at his very best because of the fact of his inexperience. But I don't know if the Warriors can afford to do that.
It's a good call, Al. I appreciate it. And that's where I'm getting at with this. You have 11 games. You have 11 games to go here. Like, Steve Kerr, when we're talking about the relationship between Steve Kerr and how much is this on him to put him in a position to succeed, Jonathan Kuminga, that is, like, the patience level has got to be waning when you see a guy like, and he was camping, and again, I'm not comparing the two players because that's not fair to either of them, like a Gui Santos, who was playing very well in his role. I just want to know what the role is for JK now.
But that's the problem, is I feel like
it's different.
He puts up the counting stats, and people are like, yeah, but you're not doing the little things. He does the little things. Oh, look, he's not putting up the counting
stats.
It's
never good enough.
No, we're like let's look at Podziemski for an example. And Podziemski's putting up a lot of numbers right now in terms of points. He's actually shooting a lot better. Yeah. He's got the ball in his hands a lot. He's putting up some assist numbers. He's getting some nice rebounds. He's a turnstile on defense.
He gets absolutely hunted on defense.
Now, what does he do? He occasionally gets a block charge call, yeah, right, where they get a free possession. But he makes up for it in these other areas, right? And it feels like all that stuff, like the fact that he literally creates chaos on your defensive end almost on every possession because he can't stay in front of someone. And that causes tension on the other four players on the floor rotating and constantly helping. That never gets talked about.
You can get away. No, it will get talked about because you just skip past it during regular season games. Come a series,
sure,
you're going to be talking about
it. Look, I like Pods. I want to make this very clear. But we gloss over the huge negative hole in his game. Yeah. And we're like, wow, look at all these other little things that they bring to the table. As a ball stopper offensively, that is the thing that frustrates Warrior fans to no end with Kuminga. But yet when he does alter a shot, when he does play good closeout defense, we don't even bring it up because it's not a counting stat. And I feel like this guy just can't win. He can't win with a certain segment of the fan base. Look, do I want more from him? Of course yeah. I do. But it's just, I feel like he's caught between a rock and a hard place. Be in the 26 minutes you're out there, you better score 20 points a game. You better shoot the three ball well. You better play great defense. You better get a couple of blocks. You better put seven or eight rebounds. Like, we're asking this guy to be one of the best two-way players in the game.
Well, and people are probably wondering. It's people tough. Are probably wondering and joining us right now, and they're like, hey, it's 9 o'clock. Why are we talking about Jonathan Kuminga when they had a horrible? Why was Jonathan Kuminga the main focus when he had a bad loss to Atlanta, 124-150
when everyone didn't play well?
No one played well. And Jimmy Butler, I know his stats say he played well, but I thought he left a lot to be desired. On the offensive end at sometimes as well. 25 points for Jimmy. And for JK, he had 16, 6 of 14 shooting for him, just 2 boards and 2 assists. But the reason I'm talking about Jonathan Kuminga and we are today so much is because so much has been made about him joining this roster and how important of a piece he is for this team to truly go on a deep run. You only have 11 games left. And the conversation was when Steph got injured that it was a potential blessing in disguise going on this road trip and seeing Jimmy with JK and then trying to build some chemistry. Well, we didn't see it in that one game. Will we see it tomorrow against the Miami Heat if Steph can't go? By the way, if you're just joining us again, Stephen Curry did make the trip out to Miami. Don't know if he's going to play tomorrow or not. Should they start rushing him back after that loss? It was a very concerning loss and disappointing loss. Or was that just a one-off? 8-8